What I think confuses the ideas of the British public opinion is probably that what is out there under all the attention is the amount to be paid. About the amount of a penalty that has been inflicted to the UK for having decided to go its own way. This is absolutely not the case. This is not a fine on the UK. This is just what happens when there is the liquidation of any company.
Dormavel Farm in Zimbabwe produces 600 tons of peas, carrots and beans for export to Europe. The farmer's land was long under threat from former leader Robert Mugabe, whose land reform sparked the violent seizure of thousands of white-owned farms from the early 2000s. Now new President Emmerson Mnangagwa has pledged to compensate those who lost their land.
Defiant words from Cambodia's leader on Sunday, Prime Minister Hun Sen challenging the U.S. to cut all aid to his country after Washington announced it would end funding for a general election next year. The U.S. wants the government to reverse its ban on the opposition Cambodia National Rescue Party, which was dissolved by the country's highest court last week, guaranteeing an election win for Sen, who's held power for more than three decades. Members of the opposition were accused of plotting to seize power, and its leader has been arrested for treason.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday, and it's December. It's December 1st, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. Heck, another business month is underway. Where has the year gone already? December 1st. Lots going on today on the program. Later in the show, Brian Summers will be here from Skift. He's an airline business reporter, and we're going to be talking more about the airlines, American Airlines snafu with pilot scheduling and whether or not that's being resolved or not. Brian will join us in our second segment. Paul Nolte from Kingsview is here today, and we'll have our regular Friday conversation with him. But first, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are off 93 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are down almost 52 points. That's good for 0.8%. Climbing numbers in the wrong direction there. S&P futures are lower as well. We'll talk this over with Paul when we bring him in momentarily. Could have something to do with the tax bill. Around the world this morning in Asia, markets are mixed. The Nikkei is up about 0.5%. The Hang Seng is off about 1/3. The Shanghai is up just a fraction. And in London, the FTSE is off about 0.5%. The DAX in Germany is off down almost 1.5%, 199 points. And the CAC in France is off about 63 points for about a percent, little over a percent there. Oil is trading this morning at $57.76 a barrel, which is up about 0.5% there. A couple of stories that we're watching for you. First, the tax bill. Congress, members of the Senate, the Republicans, are trying to meet competing demands of holdout GOP senators for that tax bill that could add $1 trillion to the nation's deficit over 10 years. The GOP had planned to take a vote on this yesterday, but they delayed the vote until today to make some changes potentially in the legislation that could have the holdouts voting yes. Some concern by those deficit hawks about the deficits that this might bring. We will again bring in Paul here in just a second to talk more about this, and we will keep you posted on it should there be any developments this hour. Elsewhere, one of the biggest radio companies in the country has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Radio broadcaster Cumulus Media has filed for Chapter 11 and entered into a restructuring agreement with some of its lenders due to trying to reduce its debt by about $1 billion. The company has 446 radio stations across the United States. And the United Auto Workers Influential Caucus of the United Auto Workers Leaders has nominated a regional director from Missouri to become the union's next president. Gary Jones will lead a slate of candidates to be voted on at the union's convention in June. It's Friday. Our regular Friday conversation features Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. senior portfolio manager there and our go-to guy on the economy and our portfolios as well. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Steve. Happy December.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's hard to believe that we're there already, but what are we going to do, I guess?
No, it's true. And it's one of the things that we talked about the last time we were here, just looking at some of the year-end things to wrap up for portfolios, taking a look at donations, taking a look at selling in portfolios, getting things kind of ready for the year-end and tax season for next year. So you've got 30 days really to get things in ship-shape order by before year end.
Yeah, if you get if you missed Giving Tuesday, there's still plenty of opportunities for right up until December 31st, right?
Absolutely.
What's going on Wall Street this morning? We're seeing the markets seem to go in the negative directions. The Dow futures were off almost triple digits a little bit ago. What do you think is happening?
Yeah, I think it's really all around Washington. I mean, you saw as the legislation was starting to develop a couple of weeks ago, the market started to rally in anticipation. We were going to get a tax bill and then sold off when we had the deficit hawks talking about, no, we're not going to go along with the program. Wall Street is getting yanked around really by the tax legislation and what things look like coming from Washington. It's hard for me to understand how they're going to be able to score this over a 10-year period. We really don't have a clue as to how to prognosticate beyond 6 months, let alone 10 years. But that's Washington, and Wall Street would really like to have something passed this year. And every time they delay it, it's going to hit the markets a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that happened yesterday was that some of the deficit hawks had wanted a clause put into this that said if – for whatever reason, we're wrong in our idea that growth will pay for this. We want something in there that will raise taxes. The parliamentarian said that, no, can't do that. And so now those folks kind of went back to the sidelines and said, we're not so sure now.
Well, and that's hard to do because you would anticipate that we're going to have another recession at some point. When you have that recession, the revenue is going to fall and the deficit would expand. Mm-hmm. So do you want to raise taxes into a recession? And that really doesn't make any sense. It goes opposite of what you'd like to see done in a recessionary environment. So again, that type of a trigger, if you will, doesn't make a lot of sense. And I can understand why that got pulled from the legislation.
Remind us again why deficits are bad for the economy.
Well, we got to pay for it. Just as if you're running your own household and we run a deficit, well, that's going to show up in a credit card. And so we're borrowing money to handle our current lifestyle. And it's no different from the government's perspective. And they're borrowing money in the way of issuing treasury securities to fund operations, if you will. So they're paying interest on it, and they have to find buyers for it. And if buyers decide, you know, we're not really all that keen on the debt, we're a little concerned about the way things are going here, it's going to force the U.S. to pay higher interest rates. And the Fed is behind some of that right now in raising interest rates, and they will here in December. And that's costing us more in interest payments. And as interest rates continue to rise, that will actually impact the amount of money that we're paying to borrow the money that's required for us to continue the lifestyle, if you will, for the government to continue to pay its bills.
Paul Nolte is here. It's Friday, our regular Friday conversation with Paul from Kingsview Asset Management.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, the major stock indexes closed on record high ground yesterday. The Dow Jones rose 331 points to 24,272. The NASDAQ was ahead 50 at the closing bell. The Standard & Poor's 500 picked up 21.5 points. A judge has cleared the way for a lawsuit alleging that Johnson & Johnson products containing talcum powder caused a woman's ovarian cancer. It's part of a $110 million verdict against the company. Sales of Nissan passenger cars in Japan fell by almost half in November after revelations that the automaker failed to follow proper final inspection procedures for its domestic market vehicles. And American Airlines is promising changes in the way that it trains employees and handles passenger complaints about racially biased treatment. The NAACP issued a travel advisory in October warning African Americans they could face discrimination when flying on American. The carrier has pledged to hire an outside firm to review its diversity programs. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 522. Paul Nolte is here today from Kingsview Asset Management. We're both still watching the big board today on the numbers.
Paul, the NASDAQ futures off about 52 points. Earlier this week, tech hit hard, $60 billion in market cap on some of the big FANG stocks. Should we be in, should we stay where we are with tech?
I think we should for a while yet. I think part of what we're seeing is a rotation from technology, and normally you'll see it end of the year, beginning of the following year, where investors sell the winners and buy the losers. There is some reversion, if you will, away from those stocks that have done very well to those that have done poorly, and that window is usually about 40 to 60 days. It may have started a little bit early this year, and we're seeing some carryover in the last couple of days where technology has generally been weaker than the broader market, but we're still very close to all-time highs across the board, if not at all-time highs in the Dow. So again, at this point, I'm not too excited about it yet. We'll let it play out for a little bit of time yet.
Jeff Bezos is no longer a 100 billionaire after this week, apparently.
Well, he'll be okay, I think.
I'm sure he'll be back on there. You're also watching bonds this morning.
Yeah, bonds are selling off, or I should say they're rising. Yields are coming back down again, and it's the safe haven play. So when you see the markets come down as much as they are in the futures this morning, 100 points or so on the Dow, normally you will see a rush to bonds. And I think, too, some of the thought is that if the tax bill does not pass, that's not going to provide an added boost to economic growth. Growth would be a little bit lower than what is being built into the market. So lower growth means lower interest rates. Whether that plays out over the long term remains to be seen, but that typically is the knee-jerk reaction in the markets.
I thought of you earlier this week, a little bit of inflation happening, finally.
Very little bit of inflation. The PCE numbers came out yesterday. They were a little bit above expectations. If you take a look at what they call the mean trimmed, and what that does is that kind of takes a look at the median inflation rate and throws out the very high numbers and the very low numbers, it's still very low. We're still looking at overall inflation rates ticking up some, but still well below what the Fed is looking at. But the Fed is still very much on path to raise rates in December.
One of the other things that was nice to see after the Black Friday weekend, the notes on consumer spending and consumer confidence, the highest it's been in, 17 years?
Confidence is high. We're seeing good numbers across the board from the economy. So if you look at the Citigroup Economic Surprise Index, those are at multi-year highs. So I'm going to use listening to my nieces and nephews over the Thanksgiving holiday from the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome. And if that's the case, I mean, the very cynical part of me is looking at it saying, well, if everything is awesome, can we get awesomer? And we may very well be at a peak in confidence, and the next numbers that we see may not be as good and start to disappoint. And that's where we're looking at 2018 as we may see a softer overall market and maybe a little bit softer economy if the Fed continues to their path of raising interest rates as they're laying out 4 rate increases next year. If that comes to pass, we could very well see a much slower economy in the following year.
And there's more evidence, too, that the wage growth is happening. There's more indication that people are making more money.
It's slow, and we'll get that number next Friday when we get the unemployment numbers. So we're starting to see some things pick up. We've expected it for a while. Everybody's been looking around for it for the last 2 years, and we're just now starting to see some of those signs. And I think that's part of the reason that the Fed is still very interested in raising rates to get ahead of what they perceive to be inflation building into the pipeline, so they want to stay ahead of that. And again, wage growth from a long-term perspective, probably in the middle part of its historical range between 2% and 4%. So again, not huge, but compared to recent history, it's higher than the recent past.
All right, Paul, have a great weekend. We'll see you again next Friday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find more at kingsview.com.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:40 here in our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. You may have heard that American Airlines pilots had been allowed to take the last 2 weeks of the month off on vacation, all of them, and that caused a little bit of concern about whether or not flights might have to be canceled, but things seem to be getting solved on this issue. We thought we'd talk more about it this morning with Brian Summers, who's an airline reporter at Skift, which is your online site for global travel industry intelligence. And Brian is with us this morning via Skype. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Everyone is talking about the American Airlines situation, especially people who have travel plans for Christmas. What should we know about this?
Well, on Wednesday, American's pilot union came out and said American had this terrible problem. American allowed basically every pilot who wanted to take vacation at the end of December to take vacation. So that meant American didn't have enough pilots to fly its flights. The pilot union said that 15,000 flights could be without pilots. And of course, this would have been a disaster, and American would have had to cancel lots and lots of flights, ruining many holidays. Now, by the next day, American came out and said, yes, we made a mistake, but we're going to fix the mistake. We're going to pay pilots time and a half to come in and work during the holiday period. And American has already said that this campaign has been a success. And it said on Thursday that out of 200,000 flights that it plans to operate in December, only a few hundred at this point don't have pilots. It also said that eventually expects that it will find volunteers to fly those extra flights. And the likelihood is that very few or no flights will be canceled. So this could be much ado about nothing, but we won't really know until the flights actually operate.
Yeah, because there was some pushback from the pilots union, I think, that said some of what American was trying to do may be against the union contract.
Yeah, union contracts are notoriously tricky, and there's been distrust over the last decades between American and its pilots union. The union seems to be upset that American hasn't collaborated with the union to try to fix this problem, that American is unilaterally deciding what to do, how to pay pilots extra. The union did say that it filed a grievance. It's my understanding that the likelihood is not much is going to happen with this grievance. It may go away. Pilots will get paid a little extra, and all the holidays will be good. That is a best-case scenario, but I'm hopeful that's what's going to happen.
You know, as we always do when news like this breaks, we sent people to the airport to talk to passengers, and everyone keeps saying, you know, it's always strange this sort of thing happens around the holidays. And I thought I'd ask you about that. It does seem like there always seems to be some craziness around the holidays.
To be honest, I cover airlines 365 days a year, and I find that there tends to be some craziness with airlines all the time, every month. It often has to do with an airline's computer system. This was for employees. A lot of the times there's a computer outage that deals with the reservation systems and passengers get delayed. They can't go where they want to go. A lot of airlines have antiquated computer systems. They really consider themselves to be transportation companies and not technology companies, and they just haven't updated them in the way that they should. Airlines know that they need to invest more in technology, but it's a long-term plan. And you just see systems, whatever they are, failing far too often. And frankly, at least once a month, we see something happen. It's not just in the holidays, but perhaps more people are paying attention now.
This is obviously a very expensive proposition for the airlines when this happens. Do you think that the more they keep paying for these mistakes and problems, that maybe eventually they'll start investing in some of the new equipment?
Yeah, I would hope so. Every airline says, you know, we're going to invest in better equipment. I think it just takes a lot of time. You hear this a lot for airlines. Maybe if you are a normal company, you're working during the day, but in the overnight hours, your factory is closed or your business is closed and you can update the systems. Airlines are a 24/7 operation. They really can't shut things down to fix things, to add a new computer system. And so they've just been patching things over the years. And I'm not sure exactly what happened with this pilot system, but you do hear that with the other airline computer systems. There's just no time to take it down and start over again. You'd basically have to shut down the airline for a week or two or three, and nobody wants to do that.
You've been writing about food on airlines, what have you been? What have you found recently about this?
Yeah, food on airlines is one of my favorite topics. I fly a lot. I actually enjoy airline food. I know that that's crazy. But I talked to an executive at Gate Group a couple of weeks ago, which is the world's largest airline caterer. And I got a chance to ask her some questions that people don't answer a whole lot. So one of the things that I've learned is if you're flying on a long-haul flight to Europe or Asia and you're flying economy class, the airline is paying about $8 for your food. And that doesn't include just the food. It also includes the tray and the silverware and the cups and everything. And if you're flying in business class, maybe you've paid $5,000 or $8,000 for your ticket. And in that case, the airline is paying about $25 for your meal. That also includes the equipment. So not very much. Another thing that I learned, and it seems odd because you know that there's been a listeria outbreak at a catering kitchen in Los Angeles, but catering people tell me that airline food is some of the safest food in the world to eat. No airline wants to poison its passengers, wants people to get sick. And so some of the reason that it doesn't taste very good is because it's designed to be safe. You know, it's always kept cold, things like that.
In your interview with Gate, what did you find out about the kinds of foods that people like the most? Is it fancy food or is it just normal food?
Airline customers love comfort food. That's part of the reason that you may have seen United Airlines has a very new onboard menu that you can pay for, and it's stuff like pizza and hamburgers. Here's what happens according to the catering people. If you take business travelers in a focus group on the ground, they tell you, we must have more healthy food. Why do you not have salads? Why do you not have fruit on board? As you feel different on the airplane, you're more stressed, you're more nervous, you want what tastes good. You don't want the salad or fruit you said you wanted on the ground. This catering executive told me that they had an airline recently that said, we were going to put one fruit salad on every flight to sell. And the catering executive said, the fruit salad never sells. People like to see it. They like to know it's there. They may like looking at the pictures of it on the menu, but no one buys it.
Let me talk to you about some of the other things you've been writing about. One of them is about Wi-Fi, about airlines still not getting this right for some reason. What seems to be the trouble with them doing this?
My understanding is airline Wi-Fi is a lot more complicated than people think. You know, you're trying to get a signal to an airplane that's moving very fast. It's much more complicated than getting Wi-Fi through your cable provider at home. For a while, airlines didn't realize that Wi-Fi was something that customers wanted. They first put it on planes in 2008 and 2009, and they thought the only people that would use it would be business travelers who maybe wanted to send a few emails. There didn't need to be a whole lot of bandwidth. Fast forward to 2017, and a lot of people who are just traveling for fun want to go on the airplane, and they want to be on social media. Maybe they even want to stream some stuff, and a lot of these systems weren't built for that. The providers of airline Wi-Fi are trying to improve, and some of them are getting better, but it takes a long time to retrofit airplanes because you've got to take the airplane into the hangar. You have to outfit it with new technology. If an airplane is in a hangar, it means that it's not flying, and planes that aren't flying aren't making money for an airline. So it's a very long process to retrofit aircraft.
Yeah, thankfully, Chicago-based United is at the front of saying it's trying to improve. That's good news for everybody who flies out of Chicago.
Yeah, United is trying to improve, but it's trying to improve an older system that was not working properly. So United flyers on a lot of their planes will probably see faster speeds pretty soon, but it's not like anybody's going to be streaming Netflix or Amazon Prime on a United plane anytime soon.
Well, Brian, always good to chat with you about travel. Safe and happy travels yourself.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Summers is an airline business reporter for Skift, also a travel expert and pundit. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Brian Summers, and Skift, at Skift. And you can read all of his information, too, online at Skift. Make sure you sign up, too, for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street. NASDAQ and S&P could see a 0.5% loss when the opening bell rings later on this morning. Dow futures are down 63 points right now. Let's find out what's happening in agriculture and commodities this morning. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. And in the marketplace at the Chicago Board of Trade this morning, we're looking at a green screen on overnight grain prices, with December wheat currently trading a penny a bushel higher. December corn is up a penny and a half. And the January soybean contract is trading higher. It's up about 3 cents a bushel. We're kind of into that holiday trading season now, because between Thanksgiving and the New Year's holiday, we tend to quiet down on commodity trading. And a lot of the stuff, of course, is stored, and farmers are deciding, do we hold for higher prices, or is this as good as it's going to get? So that's sort of where we are now in the holiday trading period.
Orin, what's happening out in California? Was there a law that just went into effect that impacts work on farms?
Well, I don't think the law has totally gone into effect yet, but yesterday, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue was here in Phoenix, Arizona. He spoke to the Ag Retailers Association annual meeting, and there was a lot of discussion at a luncheon that I attended with the secretary and about a dozen agricultural commodity group leaders. And I would say the number one topic of conversation was labor, because they are so close to the labor needs, particularly as one grower said, starting now through April, we will be providing 90% of the leafy vegetables for consumers here in the United States. And the thing is, as one grower said, you know, it's not like a car. You can't put it in a warehouse and bring it out when it's needed. When it's ready to harvest, you have to have the labor. And that seemed to me, here in Arizona and in California, in the Imperial Valley, which is on the state line, and of course just to the south is Mexico, and that seemed to be the number one concern. As one grower said, it's not immigration, it's labor. We need the labor when the crops are ready, and that really is a major concern. So more so than the farm bill, and more so, I think, than the market prices at the moment.
Is there an easy solve for this, Orion?
No, there is. Well, yeah, there could be if you got the government out of the way. You know, we have labor laws. We have the work visas that they're able to use. But it just is a situation where in Congress and on Capitol Hill, they have their political motives, of course, for it, and particularly for immigration. But this is more, in Yuma, for example, they say that every morning and every night about 20,000 to 30,000 workers come across the border from Mexico. They get in line at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then there are labor companies that have contracts between the individual workers and the individual growers, and they have to abide by those contracts. So, no, because there's a lot of emotion involved in this situation, and so it's not going to be an easy fix, particularly when you get the immigration laws into the need for labor. At right now time, I mean, you can't wait with the lettuce and all the other leafy vegetables. They call the Imperial Valley the salad bowl of the nation from November to April.
What will you be talking about tomorrow on the morning show?
Well, we'll be looking at markets, because it's still a number one topic across the country, particularly in the Midwest. We'll be watching the corn and soybean markets, and Max will be visiting with our market guest, and that will be the focus. And then I'll share more of meeting with the Secretary of Agriculture. I continue to be very impressed by Sonny Perdue. He every subject that came up in the hour and a half conversation yesterday, he knew something about it, whether it was the labor situation, whether it was export-import rules on agricultural commodities. Very knowledgeable, but then he has the experience of an ag business leader, and he has the experience of serving as governor of Georgia, so he knows the political climate. And then I call him a down-home good old boy. He talks our language.
All right. We'll be listening, Orion, tomorrow morning, 5 to 6, the morning show with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, December 1st. A couple of economic reports today. We'll get construction spending numbers for November. Auto sales numbers come out for November as well. And the Institute for Supply Management releases its latest report as well. The word of the day from Oxford Dictionary comes out. The soda tax here in Cook County has been repealed, and today it is off the books. It's World AIDS Day as well, organized by UniAIDS, the main advocate for accelerated, comprehensive, and coordinated global action on HIV/AIDS.